Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you. It's time for Breaking Chains on YAT Radio. So suit up in your full armor of God with your host, Pastor Roderick Williams, as we leave a mark that can't be erased by breaking the chains of silence.
Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you. It's time for Breaking Chains on YAT Radio. So suit up in your full armor of God with your host, Pastor Roderick Williams, as we leave a mark that can't be erased by breaking the chains of silence.
Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for Breaking Chain's new show, History Talk, with Dr. Lavert Kemp. So turn the broadcast up and let's break chains in our history.
Good evening, everyone. This is Reverend Lavert Kemp, or Dr. Kemp. I just would like to tell those listening tonight to still be careful. The pandemic is still on, regardless to what anyone else tell you. Still practice your safe distance. Still try to self-quarantine yourself. This is something that we've never dealt with before. Regardless to whatever the politicians don't know what they're talking about, we can only go by those who are professionals who could tell us how long to stay in, because they don't really know. They're dealing with something new. There are those who want the economy to come back because the president numbers are low. So in reality, he doesn't seem to care what happened to the people. They're worried about politics and about money. Everything is about money. The large corporations are losing money, so they're willing to jeopardize the lives of others, many people, to satisfy the lust of money. And I just want you to be safe. Take care of yourself. Use your wisdom. And common sense will tell you that if they don't know what's going on, if the schools are closed, the casinos are closed, you can't go into a hospital, the restaurants are closed, all these different places are closed. The government is paying off trillions, around $6 trillion so far. Something is very, very wrong. So I implore you to stay in and don't get caught up in those things that that does not concern you. Amen. We just want to say hello to everyone, and God bless you and strengthen you is my prayer. I just want to just say that it's a wonderful day, every day that God has made us, and you are someone. You are blessed and called by Almighty God. I've been doing this teaching history, and I've been teaching it from both, not just the black perspective, but we haven't been taught fairly. We've been left out of our history. I'm talking about from the African to the African Americans, we've been left out of history. One would only believe the only race that ever accomplished anything, or it's about anything that has been done, is by Caucasian, European, and that is so far from the truth. When we go back, we'd like to find out where did man originate from. And before we go into the Bible about the originate, where did man origin come from, we're just going to look at a few Caucasian anthropologists, archaeologists. We're going to even go to botanists and geneticists and find out what they have to say, because I found out that for so many years why we were not allowed to read, or not they didn't want us to read, was because so much of the very important things about life, the origin of mankind, is about you. As I was doing my research years ago, I was researching and I came upon something that was very astounding. And I like to do just a little summary of different things that I've taught, because I know there are some listening for the first time. And I don't want you to get lost, because if you come in the middle of a book or middle of a story, it's hard for you to really comprehend that story. Well, I found out one of the oldest living fossils of Arthropithecus was found in Africa. And they found this skeletal, well, found parts of the skeleton, and they were simply looking for some rocks. It was Johansson and Tom Gray. As they were looking for rocks, they found out that this may be simply the missing link, and not simply because of her upending or walking upright. They found her pelvis, and it showed that she walked upright, and they called her name Lucy. And Lucy would go back about 3.18 million years. And this tells us that when we thought that man was walking or man evolved from an ape, that man was yet walking upright. And she, they say she is so close kin to mankind. Well, there are some other very influential and scholars that also was there. Professor Louis Leakey, he was in Africa, and his wife, Mary Leakey. In February 1913, then he was to December 1996, he was from a British paleontologist. And here we find that he discovered the first fossil called Proconsul skull that is of an extinct ape, which is now believed to be an ancestor to a human. She also discovered a robust Zanthanthropus skull in Old Deep Gorge in Tanzania in East Africa. And that word Zen and Xanthropy mean Northeast Africa. And this is where you're going to find out where they found all your older skeletons or remained anthropologists have found the earliest human came from Northeast Africa. And these archaeologists and anthropologists found these fossils and their ancestors. And then they found this, and then they found this, like I said, in Old Deep Gorge in 1960. That's Louis Leakey, Professor Leakey. Now, this is not a black professor, but this is a white, and he found these fossils. Now, it is important that when they trace the maternal DNA back, or mitochondrial DNA, that's how they find out exactly who, what the person is, their ethnic, or who they are. And they found it, and also they also found some skeletal remains that date back to 100 to 200,000 years, and that the mitochondrial DNA Eve. And when they found her in South Africa, she was not the first human, but every other female lineage eventually had no female offspring and failing to pass on the mitochondrial DNA. And as a result, all human beings today, all humans today can trace their mitochondrial DNA back to this African lady within her DNA, and that her peers exist, all in her peers, it exists all the genetic variation we see in contemporary humans since Eve time. Different populations of humans have drifted apart genetically and forming distinct ethnic groups we see today. And what it's saying is, I don't care if you came from China, Japan, wherever, Europe, you have the DNA of mitochondrial DNA of Eve. Now, what's also about it, they found the remains of a man who died 315 years before Christ in southern Africa. And this man is the closest relative yet to the humanity and common to the female ancestry of Eve. This man, mitochondrial DNA, is the closest match to Eve. They say they know the man was a fisherman because he had a fisherman ear, and he was this close match to mitochondrial Eve. And that was, they found him and his skeletal remains, which they were able to procure DNA in St. Helen Bay in South Africa. And this man was found by archaeologists named Andrew Smith, who was from the University of Cape Town. Now, the reason I'm saying all these things is I want you to understand that man originated from Africa, and that is the real problem that's not being taught today. We find that man may come from all these other places, but in reality, mankind started in Africa. Now, I want to talk to you about Gregor Mendel, Mendel's Law. Now, with Mendel's Law, you're going to find that Mendel was talking about the dominant and the recessive gene. And his law states that the dominant and the recessive, that if a person is of dark complexion, they carry dominant genes. The light color genes are recessive. In other words, if a person have B and B, if it's black and black, you're going to get black. But if you get B and A, you're still going to get black. I mean, if two blacks marry and have kids, you come up with black. Two black and a white come together and they've got a B and an A, you still come up with a black or a brown. That is because your dark genes is pure. Your dark colors are pure colors. They are what you call dominant. See, the law of dominant part, that is that which means which is pure from a contrast. And if you have an A and an A, then you could come up and it's going to make white. It's going to be what you call a recessive gene. A recessive means something that's not pure. Now, we have to understand that when man left Africa, they were Africans. They were dark-skinned. But when they went up in Europe, they went through a change, a metamorphosis. They went through a change. They went through this part where as they changed from, they call it like, blacks today could have an albino child. Mendel's law had three laws. Mendel's had the law of inheritance, the things the way we look and react are passed down, and then it's the law of dominance, and that means who are the dominant, and the dominant colors are dark colors, the recessive colors are lighter colors. And the next is the law of segregation, meaning that when men went up to Europe and it was cold weather and the climate and they left from around where the sun is very hot from sub-Saharan Africa, their skin began to change. They began to take on a recessive form. Now, you'll find out that when they took on a recessive form, that's why you get the difference in the skin color. Now, a mutation, what they call a mutation, took place. And then if you get those and you say A and A marry, which is white and white, then you come up with white. But long as, and that's why they call it segregation, because when they were in Europe, they married just themselves. And they came up with almost a pure albino race, which is Caucasian. Now, the next law is independent assortment. And the people assorted themselves in different, exerted themselves in different places. And they stayed in those areas. And that's why we have the difference in the colors in the races today. But no, being known that black is a dominant color and the white is a recessive color. If you ever noticed that, if you ever went to a horse race, you've never seen a white thoroughbred because that means he's not pure. If you find a white, it means it's albino. And that's why when we look at absent a melanin. Now, I was just saying these things to let you know and to build you, let you know who you are. You know, we have these different chromosomes. I don't care if it's two, a white and a black. The kid is always going to come out black because it's the dominant and recessive. The white would be the recessive and the black would be your dominant. Now, that's Mendel's law. That's nothing that any black made up, but that is something that was sent down from a professor, from Dr. Mendel, Professor Mendel. Now, as we go in further, we go into, after I talk to you briefly about the genetic mutation from black to white, when they left out of Africa, you find that the blue eyes, again, is a recessive gene. Brown eyes is a dominant gene, and more people have brown eyes than blue eyes because the blue eyes is a mutation and it is a recessive gene, not a dominant gene. So most of the African American and dark skinned people carry dominant genes. That's why you can't get nothing from you but you. Amen. Now, as I started talking, I was researching, and the Bible does not say, give a date per se, when the world was created. I know sometime a lot of theologians and other people have tried to date it back to 6,000 years ago, which is untrue because the Bible doesn't give a date. It just says in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And it talks about the earth being void without form and how darkness filled earth. And then the Bible said, let us make man in our image. And what he was talking about, it wasn't talking about making man black or white, because God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. But now we are made in God's image, because we was the last thing that God made was man. After he had put all the animals and the vegetation and the water, everything that it would take for man to live off of, he made man. And they say he made man. Now listen at this close. He made man from the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils, and man became a living soul. Now, I've never seen white dirt. I've seen black dirt, brown dirt, red dirt, but I've never seen white dirt. And I never heard of them saying take Clorox and wash the dirt. But man was created from the dust of the earth, and the Bible says he breathed into his nostrils. Now, man was, and the people didn't say, well, the Garden of Eden. And I want to talk about the Garden of Eden for a minute. We talked about it, and I was talking about how they was talking about how when God created, he talks about the Gihon and the Pishon River, and it was talking about they encompassed the land of Havilah and the land of Somaliland and things like this, and talking about Ethiopia and others. Now, I want you to understand that the Gihon, they say, was the Nile, and some say the Pishon. So now, if you really research, you have the Blue Nile and the White Nile, which come to two heads, and they do encompass the land of Somaliland and Ethiopia. Encompass is used in both the Pishon and the Gihon River. Each one is encompassed, Havilah, which is Ethiopia, and modern-day Somalia. And the other encompass, Ethiopia, the Gihon, is now called the Nile. With the dictionary defines the word to encompass, meaning to enclose your line or limit around the area of perimeter. Passing means just simply to pass around. To view this in retrospective, the Gihon, which encompasses Ethiopia, is the present-day Nile River. The Pishon, which encompasses the country of Havilah, which is present-day Somalia, or both northern Africa. Now we must consider the remaining rivers now. So both of those are Nile, but now it goes into talking about the Hiddekiah, which people say is the Tigris River. But the way the Bible says that the Hiddekiah or the Tigris River flowed from east to west, but it flows north and south along the side of Euphrates. So that's not the river that was talking about in there. And even to this day, the people the Greeks always had the word that Ethiopia was the birthplace of mankind. And it's always been said it was called the land of the gods. Now, it's important to understand that the northern Ethiopia and northeast Sudan, this would mean the Pishon flowed in an easterly direction toward the present-day Red Sea, and the name of the second river talking about the Gihon. Now, when we look at these things, now, we're going to go a little further, but before we go in there, I was also touch bases on, because I'm trying to move on some of the things that I covered last week, and things that we was talking about after I showed that the Garden of Eden would have to be in North Africa, and that the land masses at that time, it was pre-diluvian, meaning the flood had not came, and that the land masses were joined together. If you ever take a look at a map, you take South America and you could fit it into Africa. You could take the Mediterranean and close it in. You could take the Gulf of Suzanne and Red Sea and close it in and make part of Africa. But all this was land was joined together. And then I was talked about identifying different races in the Bible. Now, I talked about on last week, I was talking about the people in the Holy Land today was not the real Israelites, or they were not the real, what they call themselves, Jews. Because I told you to look in the book of Genesis in the 10th chapter, and you'll find out that the word Ashkenaz under Magog, which was the son of Japheth, that's what they call themselves, Ashkenaz Jews. And a Jew or Israelite or Hebrew cannot come off the lineage of Japheth. It would have to come off the lineage, amen, it would have to come off the lineage of Shem. And Shem was not white. And the next group of people that's in the Holy Land today are called Khazar. They are from north of Turkey, today's Turkey. And then the other group is called the Sephardim. Now, they are really Spaniards or Portuguese. They are not Semitic people. Now, I look back, I was looking, and if you would Google and find out who 5,000 years ago, who was where Abraham came from, what color were the pictures, they'll say the Sumerian were Semitic people. And you find out that color, they say these people were chocolate with stoop noses. That means thick noses. Some had straight hair, some had curly hair. This tells us that Abraham himself was not white. And I want to just say tonight to those who are listening, but he was of African culture. I just want to say to those who are listening tonight that he who write the narratives, and I've been telling you this for a while, he who write the narrative make the people be the color that they want them. Most of the Europeans wrote the book, so they make the people look the way they do. You would think no one in the Bible was black. Everybody was white. They was not Arab, but they were Caucasian. And that's far from that. Caucasians come from Europe. Matter of fact, the Ashkenaz, people who call the Ashkenaz Jews, come from Caucasia, around Lithuania and Russia. Khazars come from around the Baltics. And so these are not, the Bible talks about It's going to be the cover going to be pulled from over them in Revelation. Say those people who claim that they're Jews and who are not, they are not. You can't be a son of Japheth and be from the culture. You have to be a Semite of Semitic heritage, and the Sumerians were. And more, when you look back on them, there were Midianites, really what you call an Ethiopian civilization at that time. And it's all too often that this is not really taught to us exactly who's who. And if you want to find out, look at the lineage of Ham and look at the lineage of Shem, and you will find who's who in your Bible. You would be easily to find that they had really, Caucasians didn't have much to do with the Bible. You're going to find after the 11th chapter, and I want you to pay close attention to this. After the 11th chapter, at the Tower of Babel, around the area where Abraham came from in the next chapter, which is the 12th chapter of your Bible, he came from Ur of the Chaldees of Mesopotamia. That's where Abraham came from. But that's right around Babylon. And Babylon is where they tried to build a Tower of Babel. And God confounded their languages. And Japheth went to Europe. And Shem stayed in that area. And the children of Ham, they went to... See, the children of Ham were Cut, Push, and Metharim and Canaan. Canaan is where today Jerusalem is. That's right, Canaan. That's why they call it the land of Canaan. Okay, Cush is Ethiopia, and it means burnt face. Metharim is the real name for Egypt. And the people were called the Kim or the Kemet, meaning Kim means black. There have been so many whites today that have tried to teach that it was talking about the soil, but it wasn't talking about the soil. It was saying who were the people. If you research real closely, who were the kings? You'll find out that they were black kings. Most of them were Sudanese people from around the Sudan. Amen. And all you have to do is just do your homework, and you'll find out exactly who they were. But for some reason now that some people from outer space came and built a pyramid because they're not willing to, that these are Europeans who are not willing to give credit that black Africans built the pyramids. If you don't believe what I'm saying, ask how many pyramids are there in the Sudan, where there may be 100 pyramids in Egypt, there are over 300 pyramids in the Sudan. You could Google it and look it up for yourself. These things are because we do not read. I find it a pleasure and interesting because I will never let a person make me have low self-esteem because simply I won't pick up the book. We've been lied to far too long about what color was this person and what color was that person. Now, I want you to understand, and I'm not saying this to make us feel any better than any other race, but what I am doing is telling you this, that you could have some high self-esteem and know that you've been lied to. See, it behooves me to say that the Phoenicians were black. These black people were proficient in philosophy, astronomy, geometry, arithmetic, navigation. These black Africans had good harbors which enabled them to navigate to distant lands. The Phoenicians, they had skills also. They were skilled in metalwork, needlework, embroidery. They extracted dye from shellfish. They had colored clothes abounding in adjacent water. We find that the English alphabet derived from the ancient black nations, the alphabets we have today. The Phoenicians, that's why we talk about hooks on farming. The Phoenicians had a powerful navy. They were great trading people. And when the Phoenicians traded with the Greeks did not have an alphabet. As a result, they adopted the Phoenician alphabets in order to transact business. The Greek passed this alphabet to the Romans, and the Romans transmitted it to the German Anglo-Saxon tribe. It was then brought to the British Isles. The first two letters in the phony for the Phoenicians or the Hebrew alphabet is Alpha. Amen. Alpha. And then Beta, which is similar to the alphabets we have, A, B. The Phoenicians also gave systems of weight and measurements to the Europeans. These things are not being documented to us today. That the things that they have, the Egyptians were able to build over 5,000 years ago, was able to build 40-story buildings with blocks weighing ton over ton. No cranes, no lifting machine, no heavy equipment. And perfectly chisel a different stone that was hewed to make the pyramid. They knew how to do metallurgy and other things because they had gold. Now, I want you to understand the Sumerians had chariots. They were very – and I told you that the Sumerians, which some people call them Assyrians, A-S-S-Y-R-I-A-N, the Assyrians, not Syrians, but the Assyrians. Well, they had chariots and everything way back 4,000 years ago. They were able to transmit, and they were chocolate-colored people. They weren't white as we see it on television. We don't have the money to make the movies or have it. We don't control as African-Americans and Africans or people of color. We don't control the TV waves or the television where we could make the movies and show that these people were black. So he who make the movies make the people be who what color they want. Moses, a white man. Jesus, a white man. Amen. Abraham, a white man. But all of them come from during the time the Holy Land would be considered as North Africa. Case in point, they have now is divided. Egypt is divided from the Holy Land by what you call the Suez Canal. It was built in 1900. So you're looking at something 120 years old. Not back in that time. That's the only thing that. So before then, the land masses was together. When you read the story, you'll find out they had elephants, they had lions, they had bears, and all kind of animals in the Holy Land. Matter of fact, they call Judah is called the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. Jesus is called the Lion of the Tribe of Judah because they knew they had these animals who was there. The water separated now where they're not there any longer and been hunted out, but that is what's going on, and this have not been written about where we can know who we are or whose we are. Now, as we continue to look into it, I was talking about Abraham. Now, Abraham is already black. Abraham come from Ur of the Chaldees, which is called the land of Nimrod. They said Nimrod settled that place. That's the first person God called him a mighty hunter before the Lord. But Nimrod tried to build a Tower of Babel. And he was the leader. He was the leader of everyone. But he stayed in that area around Erech and Babylon, an area in which Abraham came from. So Abraham came from the land of Nimrod. It's in your Bible. All of these things are in the Bible, but we don't know what to look for. We don't know how to study it. In writing my dissertation, I did look at the World Modern Nations, and I have all kind of book atlases and different books that I used as reference books. And when I started finding things out, I was so amazed to find out that really Caucasians or Japheth left the Bible out the Bible in Genesis 11, maybe to come about 400 to 500 years before Christ. In essence, it didn't play a role in the Bible. Not the conquest of Canaan, not going into bondage in Egypt or anything like that. It never played any part in it. Now, we talk about Sarah being barren, and we talk about what color, what color was the original Hebrew. Now, this should be a major concern to all Bible readers as well as scholars. As a black or African-American men and women, we know of the racism and injustice that we face on a day-to-day basis. Well, the same people who denied us civil rights, the same people who held us in bondage of slavery, tell us the truth. But 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show ourselves approved unto God, that a workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. This verse tells us that we Christians need to research the scriptures for ourselves so we can know the truth. We know that Abraham is the father of the Hebrew race. The Bible teaches us that Abraham was from Haran. That's where he came from. Sarah, and the Bible talks about Sarah was barren, had no children. And Terah took Abraham, his son, and let his son Haran, his son's son, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, and his son Abram's wife, they went forth from Ur to the Chaldees, and they came to Haran and dwelt there. Now let us go back to Genesis 10 in verse 9. They said Nimrod settled in that area, which is a rock. He was a mighty warrior before the Lord. Wherefore it is said, even Nimrod, the mighty warrior, the Bible says this, before the Lord. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, Erech, Accad, Calneh, and the land of Shinar. Out of the land went forth Asher and built Nineveh and the city Rehoboth and Calah. To understand these scriptures, one must have a map of Asia Minor. Before Abraham in the 11th chapter of Genesis, we find this, that Nimrod, the grandson of Ham, began his kingdom around Ur the Chaldees. We are not to be fooled. The Bible calls this region Shinar. Abraham comes from the region, would have to be a dark race, Cushite. We should also, and the Cushite, I mean the Ethiopian, we should also understand that the entire area was a part of an Ethiopian empire. The Bible tells us that God confused their tongue in Genesis 11, chapter verse 7 and 8. So the Lord scattered them abroad from hence upon the face of all earth, and they left off to build cities. We find that in Genesis, the 11th chapter, God was not pleased with their eagerness to reach heaven. So he paid them a visit and caused confusion in their speech. This chaos of tongue caused them to scatter abroad, leaving Nimrod's dream unfinished. The Tower of Babylon was the dream of a mighty black warrior named Nimrod. In Micah, the 5th chapter, verse 5 and 6, Babylon is noted as being the region of Nimrod, and for centuries prior to and after Micah, Babylon continues to be inhabited and governed by the seed of Ham. After research and careful study of history and archaeologists, the evidence is conclusive. Abraham was not white. As we look deeper into the research, we find Abraham was a native of Chaldean city Ur and left it within the period of the Hamitic king Guttai. And Hamitic means he was a lineage of Ham, which means he was black. And he left there under the king Guttai. That's in Genesis 11, chapter verse 28 and 31. And in 1884 edition of the Family Bible by Beard and Dillon contains identical books of the King James Version with additional texts, the Apocrypha and Judith and Tibet and Esther, First and Second Wisdom of Solomon, Birch, the Prayers of the Manasseh King of Judah, and at the First and Second Book of Maccabees. It states clearly in the Book of Judah, 5th chapter, verse 24, that Abraham was a descendant of the Chaldeans. That means that he was an Ethiopian. The builder of Chaldeans were Hamitic in race, language, and civilization. archaeological discoveries, rocks, annals, and ancient cuneiform records have conclusively demonstrated that the Hermetic Negro were early settlers of Ur. The African-Ethiopian Empire had for ages dominated Ur. The Chaldees also had some mixed Semite with the Semites and Hamites. And then they were both a pure Ethiopian breed of Hamite race. Those were had a strong Negroid feature. The early Semite and Hamite possessed deep, dark skin, woolly hair. Yellow, now listen at this. Yellow and white hair found among the ancient Semites, meaning Hebrew, were feared and socially shunned. And what it talks about when they say yellow hair, they're talking about blonde hair. If the child was born with that color hair, it was feared. He was shunned almost like it was a curse. Let us not forget that Abraham, the father of the Hebrew race, fathered a son by Hagar, his African servant. His name was Ishmael. We should understand that the worship of God was in Egypt before the time of Moses. Let us not forget there were three sons of Noah. They were all brothers and carried a lot of their father's tradition and belief with them. History tells us through records from the Egyptian hieroglyphics, the God of our Hebrew Laredites forefather, which in Exodus 3:3, since they had yet adopted Yahweh or Jehovah in Egypt hieroglyphic. This is written in the hieroglyphics in Egypt about Yahweh. It is in Hebrew or in Greek or in Latin, who in fact replaced El Shaddai in Exodus 6:3, a tribal deity without any form of a holy sacred scripture before one was introduced to Moses. Now, one must think about Moses was raised in Egypt as the son of Pharaoh's daughter and essence, Pharaoh's grandson. Now, Pharaoh's mother who raised him was black. His grandfather, who was black, he couldn't have been white and passed for his daughter's child. Moses was black just like all the other Egyptians were at that time. See, you have to understand, even when Moses met his wife, everyone always thought Moses was an Egyptian because all the people were black. Modern whites receive much of their praises, culture, and popularity from the history of the early ancient black Jews. Most of the stuff that they talk about come from black Jews, the early Hebrews, the light complexion Jews contributed nothing to the early Hebrew development, nor were they present during the Exodus from Egypt under Moses or the invasion of Canaan. The white Jews appeared about 100 years after the death of Solomon, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and their descendants until the book of 2 Kings were dark-skinned people, largely a mixture of Semitic and African. Both were dark complexion people. It was said that the people that lived in that area were chocolate. The Sumerian were chocolate colored people. I would like to state light skinned Jews began to appear because of crossbreeding with Greeks during the time of Alexander the Great. This can be studied as the same thing really occurred with the Africans or Americans who came from Africa here, or the children of Hebrew children that were sold from Africa to America and whites breeded. And so we go from the lightest of light to the darkest of dark. The same thing happened to the race of the so-called Hebrew with the crossbreeding with Alexander the Great. That is in history. Then came the Roman conquest. Interbreeding again took place. This is how the light-skinned or so-called white Jews came about. Most of them that's there today are really not even Hebrews. They only took up, they're called proselytes. They only take up the Jewish custom. They have no DNA, no background to say that they are. Now, let us continue to discover what color were the ancient Hebrew ways. To back up the above statement, read Genesis 38, 1 and 11 and 1 Chronicles 2 and 3. Let us go a step further to the history of Iraq. It is written in the World Mark Encyclopedia of Nations under the past history that dates back before the time of Abraham. In the land of the Chaldees, those who inhabited the country were dark-skinned people, inhabited shrines, implements, and pottery found on various sites can be dated as early as 5th millennium, 5,000 years. Some sites bear names that were familiar to the Bible, which considered the land between the two streams, the location of the Garden of Eden and Ur of the Chaldees, the native land of the patriarch Abraham. Scientists and exploration and archaeological research have amplified this and systematized a half history, half legendary Bible report. The World Mark Encyclopedia Nation page 123 records history in Mesopotamia begin with Sumerians, whose original linguistic affinities have yet to be established with century. This tells us that Nimrod the Hamite was the founder of the Sumerians, who were direct descendants of Ham. Earlier I told you that when I researched it and even Googled it, they said that the Sumerians were chocolate, who was known was black. Furthermore, if Abraham came from the Chaldeans or the Chaldeans, he was black. To go even deeper into the research, let us travel, take us to the time of Joseph in Egypt. We know Joseph's brothers came to free him. We know Joseph was sold to some people from Mesopotamia. Well, when Joseph was sold to them, Joseph's brother sold him to the Midianites, which were Ethiopians who returned, sold him to the Egyptians, and all them was the same color. Joseph was the color of the Midianites. He was the color of the Egyptians, because Joseph's brother didn't see him for about close to 19 years, and when they saw Joseph, they thought Joseph was the Egyptian. So, and during that time, that was before Moses, you're looking at roughly almost 4,000 years ago, and they were black. So he was a direct descendant of Ham, who we know was black. Furthermore, if Abraham, too, was from there, he was black. To go even deeper to research and let us travel back to the time. Now, we talked about Joseph. Now, Joseph was known to be a black person because he passed for an Egyptian, and it was what you call. But then he married Potiphar's daughter, Senta, a charming daughter of the Egyptian Potiphar the priest. She was given in marriage by Pharaoh to Joseph, and they had two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. The beauty of Senta was a member of a pure black African race. The intermarriage with a Shemite, they did marry freely. All the way through your Bible, you'll find out the children of Ham and the children of Shem intermarried. They were both dark races of people. Now, Ephraim and Manasseh was born on the continent of Africa, and both were adopted by their grandfather Jacob on his deathbed, for whose some unknown reason gave the first place birthright blessing to the young one, Ephraim. thereby indicating that Ephraim was to become greater than his older brother. It is written in the book of 1 Chronicles 7:20-27 that Joshua, who led the black Hebrews to the promised land, was a descendant of Ephraim. Now, when you talk about if Ephraim was, and his mother was black, Joseph was black. Now, his great grandparents was Joseph. That was his great grandparents. Well, what color was Joshua? Joshua was black. Moses was black. All these people were of African culture, but it's not written that way. But all you have to do is take time and study your Bible and go back and find out who lived. The best is called the Worldmark Encyclopedia of Nations. And there's some old books, but they'll tell you. I use these books a lot as I was doing my research for my master's degree, for my thesis. It's, now, as we go on, you'll find out that the black Hebrews in the promised land that we talked about were led by Joshua. And we know that to understand the Bible, we must understand the history of the Hebrews, the Egyptian, and the Ethiopian. These true black race played a great part throughout the Bible. Let us not stand idle and study history. HIS-STORY, that's what we have been getting in America and in Europe, that the only thing ever happened, everybody is white, all the Bible characters are white, blacks, Chinese, Japanese, Arab people, no one played anything in the Bible but whites. And they were never in that part of the country to even take part in the Bible. I know that there have been so many people who suffer with a lack of knowledge and who have for years cried out that the Bible is the white man's book. And it's just the opposite. Far too long have we sat back and not studied it for ourselves. When I hear someone say that, I think about all they would have to do is study. All they'd have to do, and with the computers and your telephone, what you could Google, and you could ask different questions to it, and it will give you the answer. Whites wrote books about these things. Not African-American, but whites wrote these things. But they always figured no one would do the research, I don't think. A group of blacks won't follow a black because we have the tendency to believe everyone is smarter than we are. Either we're listening to whites say, oh, he's just trying to start mess. We shouldn't worry about what color was Jesus God because God is a spirit. Well, if that's so, why for so many years you have always betrayed the God that people bow down to as a white man? No. I want to just be the first to tell you that King James was a racist. And I want you to know that he was in the slave trading and King James was a racist. I carry no merit in different things that he interpreted or translated from the Bible. Because if you study your Bible, a stranger in the book of Leviticus, where they have the Leviticus laws, look up about what the children of Israel was to do with a slave or a stranger. They were to take and treat that slave or a stranger as they were family. But yet that person was a slave. Slavery in America was nothing like no one ever experienced. More people died being caught on the coast of Africa, the Middle Passage on the way here, and when they got to America and other places, Brazil and the islands out in the Atlantic and other places, Haiti and Hispaniola and even Brazil and all these other places, more slaves died than the Holocaust. But yet we are told to forget about slavery, but no one ever forget about the Holocaust. The bodies of the Atlantic Ocean is littered with the bones and skeletal remains of African and our black Hebrews that were brought to America against their own will. So let us not fall prey to the false pretense of what some of the things about honor your master and all kind of things. To understand and understanding the Bible about the Hebrew and Ethiopian, the three races played the most important part of your Bible. Now, in America and in Europe, the only history we get is the history of Europe. The Spaniards and others that came over, Columbus sailed in 1492. We get all these things, but we never get the true history. The 19th dynasty, BCE, that this story of Moses has validated. Thus, Wideman, in his most noted book, Religion of Ancient Egypt, page 12, states this position: as we learn to read the history of ancient countries and archaeological finds, we learn new wisdom to open doors of our past fathers, their race, and their religion. Now let us continue to unveil the mystery of what color was the original Hebrews. Let us look at the color of more Old Testament personalities. May I state again, the purpose of this is not to bring hatred on any other race or past for their past injustice, but to both enlighten and bring forth the truth about the part Africans, Semites, black Hebrews played in the Bible as well as in history. Let it be known to the reader that I believe the Holy Bible, but I believe racism has caused some things to be purposely left out. Now that we have studied Abraham, let us look further in the book of Judges. The taking of Negro or black Amorite wives still constitute a thorny problem among the Jews who return following their Babylonian exile. The ancient Jews were blacks that many Romans mistook them for Ethiopians. The most rigid code among Jews or Hebrews was to prevent miscongenation fail. They did manage to co-marriage with other races. Even the Jewish father Abraham possessed such marital forbiddings by marrying a non-Jew woman of Africa. He had Hagar, but then later after his wife, if you study, Sarah died, he married an African woman, an Ethiopian woman called Keturah. She had, I think, 5 kids for Abraham later, and her name is Keturah, whenever you get a chance to. So Abraham's children were of African descent. Let us pay close attention to the scripture in Genesis 38:1-30. There we find that Jacob's fourth son bore 2 sons. Jacob's son was Judah. He bore 2 Hebrew sons, Phares and Zerah. Now I want you to do this, and before I come to my conclusion, I want you to just listen at this closely, because we're into the genealogy way back before Jesus' time or where he come from. Jesus, well, what color would Jesus be? Okay. Now, Judah seen Tamar. Tamar was an African. Now, Judah was already a Semitic African. a Hebrew. Now, from Perez, listen to that. Hebrews were already dark complexion people throughout the Bible. Hebrews and blacks married and interbreeded. Let us look again at Shur. They called Shur the Canaanite, meaning of Ham, and the father of Tamar, who was the daughter-in-law and mistress of Judah. We should keep in mind in our study of the Bible that Jesus is a descendant of the tribe of Judah. The black Shur was a blood ancestor to the Lord and Savior and King Jesus through Jacob, grandson, Perez. Let's continue to look at things. Before that, I might kind of jump the gun a little bit with you, but Perez had a son named Hezron. Hezron had a son named Salmon. Salmon married the black prostitute Rahab, and they had a son named Boaz. You heard of the story of Boaz and Ruth. They had a son named Obed. Obed had Jesse, and Jesse had King David. Now, so you know David was a black man. David, and we look and listen at them talk about the ruddy appearance. First of all, David would have been shorn if he would have came there being light-skinned and had a ruddy appearance. That word did not cohabit with the Hebrew race. That's something that was added by King James. Let us continue to pay close attention to the crossbreeding of Hebrews and black throughout the Bible. It is easy to understand that blacks on black make black. Dark plus dark equal dark. I just told you earlier on about Professor Mendel and about Mendel laws, about dominant and recessive genes, that dark color is dominant. Black, brown is dominant. White and light colors are called recessive genes. So if you have two black people, you're going to get a black. Even if you have a light skin or white person with a black, you're still going to come out with brown. So there's no way in there that this could possibly be, white. I told you because both of them, the Semitic people were black, and the Hamitic people were black. And either way it goes, black and black make black, and dark plus dark equal dark. We have been told for many years that we are inferior. We are cursed, lower form of human being. We have been mistreated just as the Hebrews of ancient time. In studying the Holy Bible, we find crossbreeding between Hebrews and black went on in spite of all the laws that they had in Deuteronomy 7 and 3, Nehemiah 31, 17 and 18, Ezra 9, 1 and 15, and 10, 1 and 44. Such restriction exists at this time. Well, it wasn't for about inferiority because both of them were black, but it was for religious reasons. God didn't want them to marry others and take on another person. Religion. It wasn't about race. The Hebrews were already a mixed people long before entering and departing. This is why some scholar historians, these are white historians, Greek and Romans, and even Germans, have written that Hebrews were African origin. The Greek historian and geographer Strabo stated that during his lifetime, it was not unusual for historians to think that Jews to be black from black ancestors. Strabo went on to say that Jews living in Western Judah were African or Egyptian. The Roman Tacitus supported Strabo by saying Jews were Ethiopian of race. And we know Ethiopians appear African. Now, Anglo-Saxons and their descendants, one would think no other race had a part in shaping America. In reading the Bible, one would believe that black Africans had no part in the Bible. This is far from the truth. In fact, Anglos or white had very little part in shaping the Bible. Very little part. I showed you where they left out the Bible. In almost 1,000 years, never had any part to do with the Bible. Even to the day, there are but a few Anglo-Saxons in Asia Minor. Even to today, only right in what they call the Holy Land, which was given to them in 1948, we have what you so-called white Jews who were placed in 1948 after World War II. Other than 6 million or more white so-called Jews, the remainder of Asia Minor is black and Arab. Let us see what Webster Dictionary, College Dictionary defined, has to say about the definition. Arab, a member of an Arabic-speaking people, a citizen of an Arabic-speaking nation, a member of a Semitic people, inhabitants since ancient time, the Arabian Peninsula and the desert fringes of Mesopotamia and Levant. In A.D. 632, spread it throughout Southwest Asia and North Africa, Saudi Arabia, Yemen, Oman, Qatar, Kuwait, excuse me, and the United Arab Emirates, we've noticed none of these races are white. Let us take a step back and study Ethiopian history. It will support my theory of Ethiopian being the first empire. To go even further, Abraham was of the ancient empire. A book entitled Ethiopian, the Missing Link in African History, support the theory. Page 15. The ancient empire of Ethiopia come down to us from the past, from the ancient days of the richest heritage in history. Ethiopia was considered by the Greeks to be the home of God and a retreat of the masses, a land of fertile fields, with riverbeds of diamonds, with mountains of gold and isles of the blessed. The land of the setting sun, where the giant Atlas was compelled by Olympus Jove to prop up the heavens upon his head and shoulder. The vast desert which lies south of the Atlas, known as the Sahara, is called by the Moors the Garden of Order of Allah, where the chariots of the gods whose flaming wheels burnt the saw into sands, scorched the children of Africa, and crisped their hair, for which the word Ethiopia turned sunburnt by the gods. The word Ethiopia was originally pronounced Ethiopia, sunburnt face. Now George Smith, in the Chaldean account of creation, page 78, disciples from the Babylonian text that there were original race of man at the beginning of the Chaldean history, a dark race who were called Adma or Dama, the people of Ada of Atlas. Now let us go to Mr. Smith's Sacred Annals on page 49. He quoted the Hebrew commentator as saying, "Our rabbi asserted that Adam, our father of blessed memory, composed a book of precept which was delivered by God in paradise." Ancient records now in possession of King Haile Selassie. And we know Haile Selassie was the king of Ethiopia, and a black Ethiopian king. He called himself the Lion of Judah, and that meant he was direct descendant of Jesus Christ, said that Aram, 35th child of Adam. Even if you study the book of Josephus, the Antiquities of the Jews, the History of the Jews, on page 48, William Winston translated, it says that there is an old tradition that says that Adam was the father of 33 sons. Now, this could be found, and 23 daughters. Now, I want you to look at it. If you get the book, what it called Flavius Josephus, that's the greatest Jewish historian, Antiquity of the Jews, on page 48, you'll find that Adam and Eve fathered together 33 sons and 23 daughters. Now, we're going to stop here tonight, and I'm going to take some questions for those who want to learn something about anthropology, about the archaeological finds that were found, whether they're dealing with genetics, specifically, and about the different things about recessive genes. And the recessive, simply, and these things, that when you're a mutant, it means that you're not pure. So I'm going to open the lines up now. We're going to get Dr. Hot Rod to come in and let anyone have any questions. We'll answer those questions for anyone that needs a question answered.
Okay. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you, Dr. Kemp. What a powerful show. Thank you. Like to open up the lines. Dr. Kemp, is there something? Like to open up the lines, sir. Is that okay? You ready?
Yes, I am. Yes, I'm ready.
Okay. If there's anyone that would like to have some questions or some comments for Dr. Kemp, the lines are open to you right now. God bless you and welcome to the show, Breaking Chains History Talk. The lines are open for you. Any questions or comments for Dr. Kemp? Good evening.
Good evening, Doc. How are you doing?
Good evening to you. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I want to thank for this opportunity that I may be able to study the word with someone that can just give me some clarification on some things. I'm very interested in what you're saying, and I have a statement to make. And by the way, I'm fortunate. Dr. Kemp is my friend. He's my pastor. He's my dean, and he is my instructor. So I'm Melvin from Baton Rouge, so I can deal with him basically every day. So, and I think the technicians for what you guys are doing to where the truth can be told. I'm a man about truth. I was the one that I can remember back to 1957. I just remember the Sunday school books. Everybody in there was white with the long yellow hair. So I assumed that Jesus was white. This is what I was led to believe. I had no question. Then I start wondering about things, and like Doctor, he's my instructor. So I think it's a lie. We've been taught. Now it's time for the truth. Pastor, you said something. There's a lot you said, but one thing in particular. When I was overseas, the different countries that I was in, I'm speaking of one particular thing: the size of our nose. I've never seen no Vietnamese, Japanese, or China, Okinawa. None of them had the size of nose that we had. This may sound like a joke, but to me, it's serious. Why was my nose different? And when you spoke of Abraham and the city that he was from, I forgot the name of it, all those people had the similar size nose. So that led me to believe that Abraham had that size nose also. So doing my research, I couldn't find another race on planet Earth that had a nose that size. Well, it leads me to believe that maybe we were, maybe we are his chosen one. Maybe Jesus is black. I can't say yes, because I got the research, and my pastor makes me research. Well, Pastor, give me a little bit more on about the city that Abraham came through.
Well, Abraham came from Ur of the Chaldees of Mesopotamia. That would have been around Iraq, which modern-day Iraq or Babylon, well, right out on the well, a little bit east of there. And when he came through there, it was an Ethiopian civilization. They called the people Sumerian. Well, the people Sumerian were people that they say were chocolate color, who had stoot. They say stoot noses mean thick. The word stoot means thick. Well, okay. The thing about this is something that you're going to have to understand. Even if you go to Africa today, you'll notice that the majority of the people on the eastern coast of Africa have pointy nose. If you go closer to, you know, some on the east coast, eastern side and the south have stoop noses. Well, a lot of them going further west would have it. Everybody in Africa is really not real, real dark without even interbreeding. Every African come in different colors, different hair textures, and everything else. So that's a myth or fallacy that all Africans are cold black. The darkest people in Africa don't come from the West Coast where they say most slaves come from. And we have a wonderful history. In America, the only history they give us is starting about 400 years ago, when we go back with being kings and rulers of the world and starting this world. So, no, it's not everybody have it, but if you would look up the word Olmec, O-L-M-E-C, well, there's some Olmec people in America. It's O-L-M-E-C. You could Google it, Olmec. And if you Google it, you're going to find out that they're going to show you some colossal heads that they found in Mexico and the Americas that go back to about 1,200 years before Christ. And it was in America. These people were in America. They had the biggest noses and biggest lips you ever want to see. They have their picture, colossal heads, standing 14 to 9 feet tall, just a head. And they show how the people look. And they were African. They looked similar to some of the people that they even had the Sumerian. So it's things that they don't put and teach that haven't been taught to us that they leave out. They leave out Caucasians left out the Bible. You can read it for yourself. Japheth left the Bible in the 11th chapter of Genesis, not to return until Alexander the Great came. That was your Greek. Then the Romans came. Caesar and them came. They wasn't even in the Bible, you know. Even to this day, the only white people over in that area are Israel. Israel, they're the only white people over there today. Everybody else is Arab or black. So it's all this is miseducation.
Okay.
We've been miseducated. We've been lied to. It's time that we research for ourselves, yeah. Because it's a lie. I was one of the ones that heard the Muslims say that the Bible was a white man book, and then after I studied for myself, I found out that's not so. But long as the Bible says, so is a man thinking in his heart, so is he. If they could make you misthink and put yourself below as a second-rate citizen, as below people, that's why we go kiss up behind and run behind that teaching. It's because we still have that slavery mentality that they are smarter than what we are. And some of the smartest, intelligent people in the world are African-American, are from Africa. You know, it's not what we just have been mistaught. We miseducated here. And this we have to go through the education system in America, and it's meant to give you low self-esteem.
Okay.
But the size of the nose has no bearing. If you've been to Vietnam and certain other places in Japan, they do have flat noses. They do have pug noses. Some of them have pug noses. Okay, the early ones have pug noses. They had blacks in China. All you have to do is Google, were there ever African race of people in China? Ask them, are there African race of people in India? If you ever pay close attention to it, the people of India are very, very dark skinned, and they have straight hair.
Yeah,
there are different tribes in the Pacific Ocean. They're what you call Aboriginal people in Australia. Dark as they want to be, but their hair is straight and they have the big nose. It's not just that. There's some Italian. If you ever notice, Italian have some big old nose. Okay, if you saw the old Italian, well, you know, that's Hannibal. Hannibal conquered that, so, and they have some black in them. They don't like to mention that part about it. But, you know, if a person conquer area, he mess with the women. And so, they see a whole lot of Italians had always, that's why the people ain't served the Italians for a long time. But they say they had too much Africans in them. But it's something to study, and it's very enlightening. And I'm glad that you chose to do this, Brother Melvin. I'm blessed to have someone that go to the school. So, you know, this one of my students, United Theological Seminary, a student, and I'm glad that you take an interest to find out the truth.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Now, I hope I was able to answer your question.
Just tell me the geographical location when the slave was taken by force. Would that be Northwest Africa, where they brought us mainly from?
Majority came from the middle parts of Africa. The west coast of Africa, middle part. But the majority came from the middle portions of Africa, okay? That's
yes,
right around the equator. That's right, you know, Nigeria, Cameroon, Ghana, and things like that, the Ivory Coast, the Gold Coast, Angola. Some came from the inner part. If they could get them, they did. But the first slave trade came with the, when the Arabs had a slave trade too. The Arabs had a slave trade, and we don't like to get into it, but I know a lot of African Americans say, I have Indian when they take my DNA and test me for ancestry.com. It comes up that I have this about almost 11% Caucasian, but it also said I have so many percent Native American. But now, you know, African American proudly tell that they have Native American in them, but they fail to realize that the Native American had about 4,000 to 6,000 slaves they owned. The so-called Indian Native American tribes had slaves, especially the ones around Louisiana and Mississippi, Alabama. They had slaves, okay?
Yes, sir.
Look it up. If you think I'm kidding, look it up. Did the Native Americans have slaves? And they even, when they made them leave around Mississippi, Alabama, Louisiana, and marched them to Oklahoma, they didn't want to let the slaves go when the slaves were free. They wanted to take them in bondage with them and not release them. So it's something, a struggle that we've been through, and it's time that we pick up books. I often wonder, think that they never wanted us to pick up the books, because you'll find out how intelligent, how smart you are, how gifted a person you are, how godly chose you are, and things that you'll learn that they've been teaching your lives for so many years. And if in America, the only people you think ever did anything were white Caucasians. Other than that, no one else ever did anything. So other than be a slave or whips in your backs, that's what it, even today they just portray us as great athletes.
Mm-hmm.
They don't like to bring up hidden figures. They don't like to bring up hidden figures about who figured out the trajectory to go to the moon and how much fuel it takes. They're just coming out, and you know, man land on the moon in 1969, in July the 20th of 1969. But they don't tell who figured out the formula for them to get there and get back safely. It was some black women. They just made the movie about a year or two ago, came out, and it's a shame that you would hide something that that prominent. If it would have been any a white person, they'd be celebrating it. And many inventions and many things that today it don't tell you who really made it.
Oh, wow. I sure appreciate it. I'm going to do my best to spread the word and get people to listen. And I don't care if you're black or white. I just want the truth to be known. That's it. Thank you, guys.
I want to just say this. I'm not saying this to downcast white folks. I'm not saying this to belittle anyone, but it's time for the truth to be told.
Amen.
I don't want anyone to listen to me that's of the African American or a Native American or whatever color, Spanish or Mexican, a Latino, to think that you're any more than a white person or you're any more than anyone else because you have melanin. But what I want to do is enlighten you that you've been lied to for so many years, that the Bible is not about Caucasians, that the Bible was written about people of color.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. Are there any other questions or statements out there for Dr. Kemp? And I thank you, brother, for participating tonight. The line is open for anyone else that would like to share or ask questions, Dr. Kemp. All right, Pastor. You got listeners. No one has questions. So we thank you for turning us on tonight and listening to Dr. Kemp and History Talk. Okay, Pastor, the show is back in your hands.
Amen. God bless each and everyone who tuned in tonight. Special thanks and blessings go out to Brother Melvin, he hasn't been in school. He's been sickly lately. He's had hip surgery, but he's doing well. And I just want to thank him for tuning in tonight and for having questions. The only dumb question I was always told by my professors was, the only dumb question is the question not asked. That's the only way you learn, if you ask questions or you pick up the book and read. There are different individuals that could teach you a lot, teach us a lot. And I benefited a lot from other folks who were able to teach me and teach me how to study and give me, motivate me to study and reading. So I have so much to be thankful for. And I also want to be thankful to Roger Williams. I want to just say thank you to him. Breaking Chains, History Talk by Dr. LaVert Kemp. All this is put on this station by Rem Williams. And I want to just thank him because he had the insight and a mind to want to educate the people to the knowledge of themselves and to knowledge of the Bible, because the Bible have been whitewashed. To be in a Eurocentric, everything in the Bible is Eurocentric. And like I said, those people, it goes to Revelation, say that there are people who say that they are Jews and who are not. And there are so many people right now in the Holy Land that don't have the bloodline of to be a Hebrew person. And it's the truth will come out. Didn't call the name Limba. Those who don't know it, look up the term L-E-M-B-A, Limba people. L-E-M-B-A, look up the Limba tribe. And they're going to tell you that they are the tribe of Levi, the priestly tribe of Israel, of the Hebrew people. And they are dark, dark, dark-skinned people, African. They live in South Africa today. Amen. Again, thank each and every one for tuning in. I love everyone, black, white, rich, poor, it doesn't matter. I love everybody, and there's nothing you could do about it. Heavenly, eternal Father, we come in the mighty name of Jesus. We come, Lord, asking, Lord, that you would open our hearts and open our mind. We pray that we were receptive to what we heard, and we pray with something said or done that gave us more knowledge of your holy word, gave us more knowledge of history, gave us more knowledge of anthropology and genetics. and why we're the color we are, where we came originated from. And, Lord, I didn't do this to low-rate anybody or to exhort anyone, but to just be truthful. Now, Lord, I ask, Lord, that you would bless us, Lord. We ask that you would bless the administration that's coming in now with President-elect Biden and his vice president. We ask, Lord, that you would kindly escort our president out, that he would stop lying and understand that he lost fair and quit trying to humiliate the people that don't do what he asked to do. We ask that you would help us, Lord, that you would aid us in getting the vaccinations out, and they continue to come up with vaccinations and sooner or later with a cure to COVID-19, that something that we've never had, this pandemic. Oh, Lord, we thank you, Lord. We're going back and it's spiking again, Lord, but let us go into the innermost parts, like you say, and stay there until the plague that befalls us pass away. Lord, let us not be hard-headed. Let us be obedient and do as those in authority ask us to do, the geneticists, and as the epidemiologists, as they tell us, they study diseases and things, and not listen to a person that's a real estate person to try to tell us about a disease. I would not go to a carpenter to get my car fixed. I would go to an auto mechanic. So we're going to go with the person that studied in that field. Lord, we thank you. We pray. I pray for each and every one of us. If anyone is sick, I pray that the Almighty God will touch and heal this very day, and that God will be with us and strengthen us and care for us. Continue to bless Reverend William and all of his ministries that he put forth, and let people's ears and hearts be open and receptive to what he has to say. We ask all these blessings in the mighty name of Jesus, and for his sake, amen. I love everybody. There's nothing you could ever do about it. God bless you.
Amen.
Good night.
Amen. God bless you, Pastor. Thank you very much. Don't forget, we'll be back tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. It's Breaking Chains, YAT Radio.
Oh, my people, I love you. We're family. Yeah, you and me, hey. We'll make through it all. No matter what the cost, we're family. Yeah, you and me, hey. We'll make it through the pain, the rain, and all the trouble by ourselves. People, I love you.
I love you.
We are dying.
We are dying.
They are lying. Hey. We're being shot and haunted. Why you hating me? I'm just trying to be.
I'm
hey.
Trying to be.
Great as I can be.
Great as I can be.
Grow with one another. Living happily.
Living happily.
But you hurting me.
What
hey.
You hurting me?
Work for peace.
Why work for peace?
Lion from Zion, I am a king, and you're a queen. We'll make it through it all, no matter what the cost. We're a family, yeah, you and me. We'll make it through the pain and rain and all the suffering by ourselves. People, I love you.
I love you. Oh, oh.
Why are we hurting?
Why are we hurting?
Not yet loving.
Not yet loving.
Not yet willing.
Why
to love through all?
Oh.
Can you feel the grace?
Can
family?
You feel the grace?
Breathe
family.
Another day.
Breathe another day.
Take for granted that y'all gave us all new life. But we need to learn to love each other.
Humanity.
Have a peaceful word to say.
Have a peaceful word to say.
Have a peaceful place for kids to run. Yeah, you and me, hey. We'll make it through it all. No matter what the cost, we're family. Yeah, you and me, hey. We'll
my people, I love you.
My people, I love
you, my people. I love you, my
people.
I feel you, baby. Oh, I feel you, baby.
Listening to History Talk on Breaking Chains with Dr. Lavert Kemp. Thank you for listening and tune in next week to learn more of who you are. Breaking Chains History Talk with Dr. Lavert Kemp, leaving a mark that can't be erased by breaking the chains of silence.
Thanks for turning us on this evening. Just know we are here to assist you in recovering your light from back from the darkness. Speak the truth with Young Adults Talk Live, a ministry for the people of God. So let's join together and recover what's ours. God bless you from the Young Adults Talk family.